From the Moen Broadcast Center at KPCC, this is The Frame. I'm Stephen Cuevas, sitting in for John Horn. We're dedicating the entire show today to coverage of Aretha Franklin's memorial service, which was held earlier in Detroit. We'll hear from Smokey Robinson, gospel legend Shirley Caesar, former President Bill Clinton, and the Reverend Al Sharpton.
She said, "You don't know how I am with my bank accounts. You better cash that check and..."
We'll also have commentary from Lorraine Ollie of the Los Angeles Times and Tyree Boyd Pates of the California African American Museum here in Los Angeles. All that coming up on The Frame. We'll be hearing some of the remembrances and the performances. I'm also joined by Lorraine Ollie. She's the TV critic at the Los Angeles Times, but she spent most of her career as a pop music critic at the Times and also at Newsweek. We're also joined by Tyree Boyd Pates. He's the history curator at the California African American Museum here in Los Angeles. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
Tyree, there was a memorial at the museum last night for Aretha Franklin. What took place and what was the scene like?
So yesterday we had about 1,800 people descend at the California African American Museum.
1,800?
1,800. Wow. 1,800 people descend at the California African American Museum to celebrate the life and the legacy of Aretha Franklin. And a lot of people don't know that she had such an inroad here in the city, and the indelible mark that she made is still felt. And members of those who were in the Southern California Community Choir during 1972 when she recorded Amazing Grace were on the stand or in the pews to sing behind some of the soloists. And we just had good old down South church, but we just had it in the museum.
For those who don't know, Amazing Grace was her 1972 album recorded live in Los Angeles, South Los Angeles, at a church there. Lorraine, Aretha's old friend Smokey Robinson grew up, I think, around the corner or close to it from the Franklins in Detroit. He ended up on the Motown label, as did other artists from Detroit. Why didn't Aretha ever record with Motown?
I mean, she had talked about wanting her music to go wide. And I think it sort of speaks to a larger idea of spreading the gospel, right? I mean, you don't want that narrow lane. You don't want to preach to the converted. You want to go wide. And that's what she wanted to do. And that in itself, not just for a woman at the time, you know, but a African-American artist, a woman coming out of a area that wasn't considered something that would feed into pop, that would feed into something larger. You know, it was religious music. But that's exactly what she did. And it didn't happen right away. She had signed on early to Columbia, and that didn't quite work out very well. They kind of wanted her to be too poppy. But then she had gone on to Atlantic. And when she went with Atlantic, she did something like 5 albums in 22 months, which is amazing. I mean, that was kind of what brought Aretha Franklin to the wider world, really, even outside of America. As a fan and as a music critic and just as a human being, I mean, she's kind of like the beginning of it all. She's like the beginning. She's where this all started, just in terms of bringing spirituality, but also fire, you know, to music. And that's a really rare combination. And she just, you know, blew it out of the park. She just blew it wide open for so many people in her bath.
Yeah. Well, Smokey Robinson, of course, spoke and also sang a little bit at the service earlier today. Let's hear some of that.
A while back, we did a miniseries on the Temptations' life. And for that movie, I did the score for the movie, and I had to write a song for Melvin Franklin, who was another one of our close people. And I'm sure he won't mind if I sing a little bit of it for you, because it fits you so perfectly in my life. Really gonna miss you. It's really gonna be different without you. For the rest of my life, gonna be thinking about you. I'll miss you, my buddy. I'll miss you, my friend. I know and I'm gonna love you forever.
And that was the great Smokey Robinson singing earlier today at the funeral of Aretha Franklin. Remarkable in that this was a friendship that's almost spanned 70 years. And Smokey Robinson and Stevie Wonder both talk about first hearing her sing at C.L. Franklin's church, at her father's church in Detroit.
Right. And I think Smokey Robinson had even heard her earlier because he had a story, and I think he might have talked about this at the funeral, of, you know, meeting the family when they first moved to Detroit, meeting Aretha's family. And he was friends with her older brother. He had made friends with, because he was about 3 or 4 years older than Aretha, I think. And he recalled the first time going over to their house and hanging out with the brother and then hearing this child singing in the other room. And it was Aretha. And he said it was a child, but it was kind of this life-changing moment. That was his first introduction to Aretha, her singing as a 5-year-old in the other room. And that was the beginning of their relationship, essentially.
And, yeah. And you know, there's what Aretha Franklin did in her own career, and then there's also clearly some kind of influence that she had on young musicians who would go on to be these legends as well, like Stevie Wonder and Smokey Robinson, who may have been inspired themselves to get up there on Sunday in front of the congregation and go for it, right, Tyree?
Right. Stevie Wonder co-wrote "Until You Come Back to Me" for Aretha Franklin when he was just 15 years old.
Though you don't call anymore, I sit and wait in vain.
Just to think that Detroit was producing these musical juggernauts is something that I think we can all appreciate, but also exemplifies how Black musicality was going to be embraced by the country soon after. And I think Berry Gordy, in the way he strategically positioned Motown, broke down those color barriers that would only allow the Arethas and all the other folks from Detroit, gospel, secular and sacred, to really have a foothold in the music industry.
Mm. Coming up on The Frame, more from the memorial service for Aretha Franklin. Stay with us. We're devoting today's entire show to the coverage of Aretha Franklin's memorial service. We're hearing some of the service, and I'm also joined by Lorraine Ali. She's the TV critic at the Los Angeles Times and a former pop music critic there. And we're also joined by Tyree Boyd Pates. He's the history curator at the California African American Museum here in Los Angeles. So, Tyree, you curated an exhibit about gospel music in Los Angeles at the California African American Museum. What role did Aretha Franklin have in that history of gospel music in Los Angeles?
So I curated How Sweet the Sound, Gospel Music in Los Angeles. In that exhibition, I chronicle from 1872 to 1972, starting with Biddy Mason's entry into Southern California, but the commercialization of gospel by ways of Aretha Franklin in 1972. That's because she recorded Amazing Grace at the New Temple Missionary Baptist Church in South Central Los Angeles,
right,
off of Broadway.
Right, and that would become her best-selling album, even though she had this some 15 years in the secular music world with these smash hits that everyone knows. I don't have to say their names again. But it's this record.
Yes.
This spirit, basically the spiritual gospel record, recorded in Los Angeles over 2 nights, I think, that becomes her best-selling record.
Yeah, I like to say it's the thriller of gospel music, right? Because she broke the records, but it also solidified her legend, not only in the secular world, but in the sacred community too. But in that service of 2 days, it wasn't anything abnormal that she did outside of just having good old church. But what it meant to the world would be spreading the gospel out of the four walls, and people would be able to take church with them in their cars as well as in their tape decks.
Do you know what led to recording those performances in Los Angeles?
I know just her relationship with Reverend James Cleveland was very strong, and he had a foothold in Los Angeles, and he was involved with the Southern California Community Choir. And so why not perform in South Los Angeles? And when they did, they were able to capture lightning in a bottle.
You were talking earlier when we weren't recording about what we saw today with this memorial service and how it's very reflective of what a fairly typical African-American memorial service would be like and be stretching over many hours.
Right, right. With anyone who has any experience within the Black church, you know that in Pentecostal or Baptist circles, church can go for a few hours. And so you kind of have to buckle up, bring a snack, and tell the kids to pipe down. But within those services, it's just the commemoration of what this week has meant, repentance, melancholy, but also jubilation. And I think in this funeral, we're not necessarily just seeing tears. We're actually seeing celebration. And I hear people on Twitter right now actually reclaiming the word funeral and actually calling it a homegoing. And I think for the Black church in particular, we don't call them funerals. We call them homegoings because we think that they're angels being sent back to heaven.
Lorraine, you were saying something to the effect of, even in death, she's bringing the spirit, she's bringing the gospel to the people.
I mean, look at what her service is doing right now.
Yeah.
These moments of the gospel choirs, of people dancing, of the singing together, this is probably something much of the world has not seen, you know?
Right.
And I think this really speaks to what she brought to not just music, but to culture, but also how she brought African-American culture out to the rest of the world. And this is what's happening right now with the service.
Yeah. Sorry. One of the performances at Aretha's memorial today was the Bishop Marvin Sapp. Why don't we hear some of that?
I will keep you in your home.
Talking about Aretha Franklin and her memorial service with Lorraine Ollie of the Los Angeles Times and Tyree Boyd Pates of the California African American Museum in Los Angeles. Also today at the service, the Reverend Al Sharpton spoke, and he told this really great story about Aretha.
She called me one day. She said, "Reverend Al, I want to send you something." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "What's your home address?" And she said it. About 3 days later, I got a check made out Nash Action Network, signed by Aretha Franklin. I saw about a month later, I said, "You know, I was so blown away, I grew up looking up to you, that I framed that check." She said, "Boy, don't you have a copy machine?" She said, "You don't know how I am with my bank accounts. You better cash that check in."
Well, speaking of money, we found out not too long ago that Aretha Franklin died without a trust or a will. So my understanding under Michigan law that her estate will go to her four sons. However, people can contest that in the courts. Now, my impression of her, however, was that she was always very much in control of her career. She was very exacting in what she wanted, not only in the studio from her musicians, but with business at large and how her image was put out there. This really, really surprised me. What did you guys think when you heard about this?
She's always been an artist who's been a little eccentric and kind of hard to read. And I think she wanted it that way. She really intensely protected her privacy.
Right.
I mean, for someone whose music had such range and had such reach, you didn't really know a lot personally about mm-hmm. what she was doing, where she was, you know, how she lived her life. We knew little things. You know, she liked to be paid in cash. She didn't like to fly, which is why she didn't tour a whole lot. She'd really wanted to protect her personal life. And she had said at one point during her career, "Who I am personally, I don't want that bleeding out onto all my music. You should get a feeling through my music. You should get lift. You should get spirituality, whatever you get. But I don't want my personal life to be the trouble with men, the woman who's always singing the blues. I want you to feel the music and not feel me." The whole thing with the will and the estate, I don't know that it's that surprising. I mean, in the music world as well, this happens a lot. And I think, you know, musicians, particularly people who are artists, they don't really think along those lines of, you know, let me think, you know, a year, 2 years, 10 years into the future. That's not really a thing that artists like to do. And thankfully, what it does for their music is it makes it in the moment, but it's probably not great for a will.
Do you want to add to this, Tyree?
I would just say that considerate of Aretha Franklin's financial hardships and woes. She was still very much a hard worker.
And, oh, yes.
And with her hard work, she always liked to attribute the hard work of the next generation of musicians who could potentially fill her shoes, particularly Beyoncé. But she also was a woman who also threw a lot of shade. And I don't think a lot of people really want to share how shady Aretha Franklin could have been, but never to dissuade from her legacy. I just think that Aretha Franklin, like Prince, were royalty, and they always put people in their place when they didn't respect that.
Yeah, if you're the queen of soul, you got to protect
you
got to
protect the throne. and that she did, and I'm very proud to say that she did so well.
Yeah.
Right, and that, you know, the fire that's in her music and the, you know, RESPCT, come on, that doesn't just come from a place of like, let me just sit back and agree and nod with everything and I'll go with the flow. No.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a person in there who's like, I know what I think and I don't think that's good and I'm going to say that's not good.
Right, right, right. Always about empowerment.
She reportedly had a pretty fraught relationship, though, with Patti LaBelle, another great.
I just know that it was years long, and there are many memes and gifts that were circulated again in wake of her passing. One, in particular, when she was Aretha was performing at the White House, and she was coming down the aisle, and Patti LaBelle was on her left or right, and she actually sidestepped from greeting and shaking Patti LaBelle's hand to make her way on stage. And I think now everything is 2020. Patti LaBelle's gone on to say that she's loved Aretha for many years and is appreciative of her legacy. Music is definitely a competitive sport.
Yeah, it might have been. It might have been just because Patti LaBelle is that good.
Yeah.
That's also a very royal move. I believe I saw that during the last royal wedding with the queen and her grandson. That's a royal move.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of Aretha at work, tell me about a time either one of you saw her work, saw her perform live, and what that experience was like for you.
I wasn't allowed to see Aretha coming up because of my age, but she was definitely played regularly in my house. My grandmother and I have had several conversations over the last week where my grandmother said that she played RSBCT out, like to the point where her record would skip. She's someone who in many black households, whenever black parents would play her music on a Sunday afternoon, you knew it was time to clean the house. And so that's a tradition and how generations would come to know, future generations would have come to know Aretha, and many other artists have the same kind of kinship.
Lorraine?
By the time I had consciousness as, you know, a music fan, a music listener, she was there already. You just knew, like, you know, respect was in your DNA, like just growing up listening to music. And, you know, I wasn't really in a white or black household. I was in a Muslim Arab household, but it didn't matter. You know, you heard her voice and you were like, she's channeling something in my 11-year-old self, in my 15-year-old self, in my 22-year-old self. You know, it reached you no matter what. And I think that's kind of what that line is now to artists and to fans.
We'll have more from Lorraine Ollie and Tyree Boyd-Pates about today's memorial service for Aretha Franklin. Stay with us. We're devoting today's entire show to coverage of Aretha Franklin's memorial service. I'm joined by Tyree Boyd-Pates. He's the history curator at the California African American Museum here in Los Angeles. And also with us is Lorraine Ollie. She's the TV critic at the Los Angeles Times and a former pop music critic there. So among the dignitaries who spoke at Aretha's memorial today was former President Bill Clinton. Let's hear a little bit about what he had to say about Aretha.
This is what I think you should remember in this time about this magnificent woman. She worked her can off to get where she was. She took the gifts God gave her and she kept getting a little bigger every day. So she goes back and do.
And that was President Bill Clinton actually playing a little bit of Aretha over his cell phone for the congregation there. I thought that was really a great thing to do and sort of bring her voice into the church there. Anything you want to say about that song that he chose?
You know, I mean, he's setting it up. You know, just think about what she did for us. And then he's playing Think. Yeah. And I just thought it was kind of a nice, also personal move of like, look, here's my phone. Here's the stuff that I actually, potentially, he actually really listens to that.
For sure.
You know, to cue it up like that. And, you know, it's interesting because she performed at his inauguration and she also performed at Carter's inauguration and Obama's. So it's three presidents right there. And it just sort of shows kind of her span between movements in America between decades. I mean, she performed at MLK Jr.'s funeral, Rosa Parks' funeral. So she's kind of there at all these really critical steps in American history, politics, and social movements.
Tyree, she once said that, or often said, that Martin Luther King Jr. would often ask her to sing the song Precious Lord, which Fantasia performed today and appeared on, you know, one of Aretha's gospel albums too. Could you talk a little bit about her significance in the civil rights movement and how gospel music, in a sense, became a soundtrack for the movement?
Absolutely. So given the history of the civil rights movement, we have to understand that you don't have a movement unless music makes you move, right?
Yeah.
And music was always serves as a catalyst for Black social movements. And in particular, given that she was the daughter of Reverend C.L. Franklin, she was also allowed the opportunity to be mentored by Mahalia Jackson, who at the March on Washington urged Dr. King to tell them about the dream. And that's when he goes off for nearly 12 to 16 minutes to give an extemporaneous speech that we know as the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah.
And moreover, she would tour with Harry Belafonte to support financially the civil rights movement, but she also offered to post bail for Angela Davis. And one of my favorite parts about that piece of history is she gave this really profound quote. She said, "Angela Davis must go free. Black people will be free. I've been locked up, and I know you got to disturb the peace when you can't get no peace."
And I think she also said about Angela Davis something to the effect of, "I don't necessarily agree with her approach. However, when there's a Black woman in jail who is speaking out and trying to get freedom for Black people,
right,
I'm going to help that person.
And I'm going to be in the gap." And that just completely accentuates how she was used her celebrity to leverage her influence to help free those who were marginalized and oppressed at the time.
And also we were remarking how the Reverend Louis Farrakhan was up on the altar as well.
Yes.
A very controversial figure to some. And you know, she may not have always agreed with the Nation of Islam and his approach to these matters, but there he was.
Right, and she and him were friends, and she came to his aid many a times, and that just only serves as an example of how Aretha Franklin was really invested into the Black liberation of people in this country.
We also heard from gospel legend Shirley Caesar, also a pastor, who's while Aretha kind of went into the more the pop realm, if you will, while still kind of keeping the church with her, Shirley Caesar was very much more of a pure gospel performer. Tyree, what do you think the significance was of having her not only perform, but also, you know, get up there and really kind of raise the roof with her tribute?
Yeah, with Shirley Caesar's performance, it really just sends a very wide message, not only to those who are watching, but to the Black church, that whether Aretha was a saint or a sinner or however you might have thought of her, she was good in God's eyes. And for Shirley Caesar, who is a legend in her own right, just to stamp this and say there is a sanctification going on of Aretha's legacy, and I say it so, only further validates that Aretha's homegoing service really has the cosign of some of those who are in the trenches in the Lord's army.
Yeah, and she was very much, in a sense, a partner of Aretha Franklin. They're approximately the same age and came up in the same way. I don't know if Shirley Caesar was from Detroit, but
she was certainly a gospel purist, though.
She was in that world,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Let's end our coverage of Aretha Franklin's memorial service by listening to the gospel legend Shirley Caesar.
Thank you.
That's all we have time for today. And thanks to Lorraine Ali of the Los Angeles Times and Tyree Boyd-Pates of the California African American Museum for joining us. The Frame is produced by Oscar Garza, Darby Maloney, Monica Bushman, and Jonathan Shiflett, with help this week from Audrey Ngo and Julia Paskin. Our engineer is Valentino Rivera, and our intern is Maria Alexa Cavanaugh. I'm Stephen Cuevas. Thanks for listening. The Frame is off on Labor Day. John Horn is back here Tuesday. Have a great weekend.